on the infancy and hidden life of our Savior. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Luke 2:51. The following is from French Jesuit Père Coisset. It is surprising that the Son of God, having come on earth simply to glorify his Father by redeeming mankind, should have passed nearly all his life in obscurity. During all this time, could he not have traveled through the world to teach men by his doctrine, to edify them by his example, to convince them by his miracles, and draw them to the knowledge of the true God? The carpenter's shop, was it a dwelling worthy of a Savior? A hidden and unknown life, was this to be the life of a Messiah? And so long a retreat, was it necessary for a God-made man? It must be so, since he who is wisdom itself and does all things with consummate prudence has made the choice. Who is it who had the glory of his Father more at heart than his only begotten Son, and who knew better than he did how to promote it? The salvation of man, was that not the object of his incarnation, and was he ignorant that the conversion of the universe ought to have been his work? We must therefore come to the conclusion that a hidden life up to the age of 30 was more glorious to God than the most striking miracles, and that the work of our salvation required that silence and obscurity during all that time. What more glorious, what more instructive than the mystery of this hidden life? The Eternal Father wished to be glorified by the hidden life of his Son. The Savior prefers this obscurity to all the marvels of an active life. Ah, great God, when shall we be convinced that perfection and merit does not consist in doing or in suffering great things for your glory, but in wishing and doing all that pleases you? The Savior glorified his Father quite as much in the poor workshop at Nazareth as he afterwards in Judea did through his preaching and miracles. Oh, my God, how foolish are they who feel inclined to show their zeal only in performing mighty works of charity. Such as these would say that a hidden life extinguishes fervor. The will of God is sought for by those who put their trust in him, but how many virtues are included in this one? The Son of God was strictly obedient to Mary and Joseph. This is an abridgment of his life from the age of 12 to 30 years. Would not one say that obedience is above every other virtue? For one cannot doubt but that during that time, Jesus Christ would have possessed every virtue. Scripture seems to include all in saying that he was perfectly obedient. Ah, my God, how important is this lesson, but it is not relished. How consoling, my Lord, is your example, but it is not followed. I have only to obey, and I am sure of pleasing you. How short is the path to perfection? I have only to obey, and from that time I practice every virtue. A complete victory over the strongest temptations is attached to obedience. We are humble, we are solidly grounded in virtue when we are obedient. As for the other wonders which Jesus worked during that time, he has kept them so hidden that we can but have a confused knowledge of them. The finest paintings are faded when exposed to too much light and air, but a hidden life is always safe, and it is God alone who can help us to it. To be talked of by the world, to be successful, to be praised, is, for those who seek it, the reward for purely exterior good works. If we wish to possess God as a reward, let us remember that he alone must be our witness. The following is from French priest Père Nouet. The love of solitude and the love of silence are two virtues of which the Son of God gives us the example in his hidden life. There are two kinds of solitude. The first is that of the heart, which can be practiced even among the talk and hum of a busy world by a wholly contemplative mind not affected by outward observances. The second is that of the body, which effectually separates us from the conversation and sight of men, but this will be of little use to us if separated from the first. Our Savior has so practiced both the one and the other that it ought to induce us to follow his example. See him in Nazareth, where he leads a hidden life. He is content with a village, a mean-looking house, a vile employment. What conversions could he not effect by the mere efficacy of his word? Nevertheless, he lives silently, to teach us to love retreat. And this we should never shrink from when the glory of God or the salvation of our neighbor or any pressing want is concerned. Try to be fond of retirement from the world so that you may examine your conscience effectually. You need not be afraid of losing your time or of burying your talents. Jesus did not lose the fruit of the least of his labors when he began his public life,